right after the international.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Paralympics for disabled athletes officially opened Tuesday in Tokyo, Japan. Like the recent Tokyo Olympics, the Paralympics will, for the most part, be held without fans because of a COVID-19 state of emergency in Japan's capital. The Brazilian Andrew Parsons is the president of the International Paralympic Committee.
One of the questions I have been asked quite often is, can we have safe games? And the answer is yes. We would not be here if we did not believe that we could deliver safe games. The Olympics have shown that the playbooks work. We do understand, of course, the rise in number of cases in Tokyo in Japan, but we do not believe that there is a cause-effect relationship between the fact that we are here for the Paralympics and the numbers rising in Japan. Anyhow, we must remain vigilant because we want to keep that. We must not be complacent, so that's why we are strongly working with the National Paralympic Committees and international federations, actually with all the stakeholders of the Paralympic Games, that until the very last moment, until the last team leaves the village, we have to keep the attitude, we have to abide by the playbooks.
That's Andrew Parsons, the president of the International Paralympic Committee, and he spoke in Tokyo, Japan. About 4,400 athletes are expected for the Paralympics, and they'll compete in 22 para sports. Badminton and taekwondo are making their Paralympic debut. Brad Snyder will compete for Team USA in the para triathlon. The 37-year-old Snyder is participating in his third Paralympics, and he took a break from his training to talk with VOA about their significance.
I'm incredibly proud to be a part of the Paralympic movement, and it is gaining more and more attention and gaining more and more steam, not only in the U.S., but globally. I think it's critically important, really as a societal thing, to look at how we can reframe the way that we look at disability. The reaction of my friends and family to my blindness was that they couldn't imagine what my life was going to be like, and they just feel sorry for me. Paralympics offers us an opportunity to get excited about wheelchair racing or get excited about blind athletes tearing down a ski slope or riding a tandem bike at 30, 40 miles an hour.
Brad Snyder has won 7 medals during his Paralympic career, 5 gold and 2 silver. He says he was blinded 10 years ago during a military assignment.
So for about 7 years, I was an explosive ordnance disposal officer in the Navy. I deployed both to Iraq and to Afghanistan during that time period. On September 7th, 2011, I was part of an assault team that was doing combat operations in the Kandahar province of Afghanistan. At about 7:30 in the morning, I stepped on an improvised explosive device that detonated about a foot and a half in front of me. The really good news is I was able to walk away from that blast. The bad news is, as a result of the blast injuries I sustained to my face, I lost my vision permanently.
Brad Snyder was captain of the swim team at the U.S. Naval Academy, where he graduated in 2006 with a degree in naval architecture. He says the Paralympics are a great fit for his competitive nature.
I kind of want to be the best at everything, whether it's making pizza or competing in the Paralympic triathlon. I think this notion of excellence really motivates me. I don't think it's, when you use the word competitive, for me, it's not necessarily competitive. Like, I'm not looking to beat other people. I'm looking to do something in an excellent way.
That's 5-time Paralympic gold medalist Brad Snyder, who will compete for Team USA in the para triathlon at the Paralympics in Tokyo, Japan. In African athletics, Team Nigeria won 4 gold, 3 silver, and a total of 7 medals at the recent World Under 20 Championships in Nairobi, Kenya. One of the young stars on Team Nigeria is 17-year-old Emabong Unseuko. She became the first Nigerian athlete to win 3 gold medals at an international event, winning gold in the women's 400 meters final, the women's 4x400 meters team relay, and the 4x400 meters mixed relay. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Uko's coach, Daniel Umuwete.
I am very excited over Emabong's Olympics and the World Junior Championship in Kenya. As it, my reaction to that is that I'm very glad because every day that she has done so well, and to the glory of God, I believe she has a greater future ahead of her.
For how long have you been training Emabong Unseuko, and how was she discovered?
I actually discovered Emabong Unseuko in the year 2017 when Akwa Ibom State hosted the sports festival for secondary schools. When I saw the little girl perform a fantastic time by running in 64 at the age of 12, then I knew she had something for the future. So since then, I had to meet my director of sport then, who helped me redeploy her from Ibno, in a local government far from Uyo, the state capital, to Uyo. Thereby, started training her while she will go to school in the morning. While I train others in the morning as well, she goes to school. In the afternoon, I come to train her alone. They took her to the National Youth Games. She could not really do well because we have taken her to gain some exposure. Then the next year, being 2018, took her to the National Youth Games. She won 3 gold medals for the states. And that same year, she went to the National Sport Festival and got a gold medal, displacing more experienced and exposed athletes to winning the gold in the 400 meters. Since then, she's been under my tutelage, the glory of God. It's been a sweet and successful story.
Do you think Emabong and other 400 meters athletes have potentials to do well in the future?
Emabong Unseuko has a great future ahead of her. It is actually what I noticed, you know, when I picked interest in making sure that she was redeployed from Ibno local government area to Akwa Ibom State. So she has a very great future, and of course, the quarter-milers, herself, Ophelia, and the young quarter-milers we have now have a great potential ahead of them that will, you know, bring Nigeria on the map of athletics once again. It's rather unfortunate that before now we had neglected the youth program, but I am so excited that the government of Akwa Ibom State and of course even the Nigerian government is keen at making sure that the youth games is live. So Emabong has a very great future ahead of her, and I want to sincerely thank God as well, who has been able to help me manage this little lad from 2017 when I met her to that she has become an internationally, you know, known athletes. Though this journey was not easy, but it is because I saw something good in her and I believed she had a future in athletics. That's why I took the pains, did the sacrifices, and of course the result is what we're experiencing today. The future is so bright for her.
That's Daniel Umuwete, the coach of Emabong Unseuko, who won 3 gold medals at the recent World Athletics Under 20 Championships in Kenya. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Uyo, Nigeria.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we talk about reparations and redress. As Namibia negotiates with Germany on compensation for colonial-era genocide, we ask, how much is enough to make amends for atrocities and other sins of the past? Reparations, remorse, and redress. On the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, the host of our Straight Talk Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Team Uganda tallied 4 medals at the recent Tokyo Olympics, its best performance ever on the Olympics medal table. World record holder Joshua Cheptegei won 2 of the medals, a gold at 5,000 meters and a silver at 10,000 meters. In this Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge reports Cheptegei's gold medal run set off celebrations in the capital, Kampala. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings due to Sunny and our listeners.
Cheptegei leads. It's Kimeli in second for Kenya and Paul Chelimo. Ready to pounce. Cheptegei has 110 metres to claim history for Uganda. He's pulling away. Can he do it? Can he keep it going? Watch for the Canadian. He's closing, but not quickly enough. The world record holder becomes the Olympic champion. At last, Joshua Cheptegei secures the gold he has craved for years. So many runs, so many thousands of kilometres. And after the near miss in the 10,000 metres, he's done it. He's climbed the mountain. Uganda's first champion over 5,000 metres. He's done it with his compatriot. He's done it with heart. He's done it with passion. And he's proven that as a world record holder, he can come and deliver under pressure when the times are irrelevant. What a night it's going to be in Uganda. Cheptegei has taken one of the ultimate crowns.
Indeed, there were jubilations in Kampala after Uganda's long-distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei, won his first gold at the Olympics. And he was visibly emotional after clocking 12 minutes and 58.15 seconds to win the 5,000 meters race in Tokyo, Japan, ahead of Canada's Ahmed Mohamed and American Paul Chelimo. The 5,000 meters win came after settling for silver in his favorite race, the 10,000 meters category. By winning 2 medals at the Olympics, the 10,000 meters and 5,000 meters world champion established himself as Uganda's best athlete and said he was relieved.
I always want to become the best. And that's the right mindset that I want to tell Ugandans. Always strive to become the best. And I believed in myself. I was able to fight the confidence back. And when I was leading up to the 5K, I just knew the only way was just to go out, run my race and enjoy and be at peace. So to be at peace, I needed to be aggressive and, you know, tell myself that I can do it. And of course, thanks to the Ugandans that most of the Ugandans, I received so many messages on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and I could not respond to them because all of them are positive and I was saying, you are our man, we believe in you that you can do it. So that energy was really enough for me to win the gold. And when I crossed the finish line, I felt like I had never run, to be sincere with you. I just completed the race and I was not feeling any pains anywhere. The joy just overtook all the pains and, you know, all the worries, and I was now happy, and the setback of the silver was now gone, and I was headed for something great. Greatness now was just within me.
Cheptegei blamed bad weather and jet lag for failing to win gold in his favorite 10,000 meters category. But he praised his training partners, Stephen Chisa, who ran as pacemaker, and Jacob Kiplimo, the 10,000 meters Olympic bronze medalist, describing the tough race as, in two quotes, a battle they skillfully planned for.
You know, when you are going for a battle, when you are going for war, you don't know what your opponents are going to do. So for us, we are prepared in the best means ever, and we had worked as a team, because, you know, normally for us we always do a fast race, and by the time that the race is going to complete, nobody will be able to kick. But then this one, now we ran a slow race.
Jacob Kiplimo, the youngest ever Ugandan Olympian, when he ran the 5,000 meters heats in Rio as 15-year-old, posted a time of 27 minutes and 43.88 seconds to secure bronze at the Tokyo Games. Jacob says he's becoming a greater runner from each race he participates in.
It was my second time to be there in the Olympics. It was great. I think to me, this is now the beginning. I still have like 20 years from now again. We still have more things to come.
There were other elite male runners from Uganda, such as Ronald Musagara, Competing in 1500 meters and former Olympics marathon gold medalist Stephen Kiprotich both failing to finish their races because of injuries. Overall, a combined 4 medals haul from the Ugandan Olympics team pleased Uganda's president Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Speaking at the occasion to welcome the Olympics team, Mr. Museveni said Uganda's unique geographical features highly contributed to Uganda's success.
In terms of the physical features of our country, Uganda has these high mountains and also the plateau, what you would call the lowlands. Now, these communities which live in the different areas have different potentials. And really, Uganda can become a very big sports country, outcompete all these other people.
The president rewarded medalists with brand new vehicles and promised to support sports. Back to Joshua Cheptegei's heroics at the Olympics. Sports analyst Leonie Senyange tells the Sunny Side of Sports that by winning 2 medals at the Olympics, Joshua Cheptegei cemented his position not only as Uganda's best, but arguably the best long-distance runner ever in Africa.
An Olympic medal, gold, regardless of the distance he was running, is what was missing in his resume. Now he has it. I think the biggest catch would be the 10K medal in 2024 if he actually gets there. But yes, as it is now, Joshua Cheptegei is the greatest athlete Uganda has had and potentially one of the greatest athletes, long-distance runners that the world has been able to produce.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
I am Mukundani Albert, an African poet. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And I'm pleased to report African poet Albert has this poem for us in honor of Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei.
Cheptegei! It finds the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000 meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other tech actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa, the skilled profession for the rhythms of sports, who can stand by this challenge.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Rwanda, where the 30th edition of the men's Afrobasket tournament tipped off Tuesday at the Kigali Arena. The competition features 16 teams who will vie for the title of African men's basketball champion. In the opening game Tuesday, defending champion Tunisia began its campaign for a third African trophy by trouncing Guinea 82-46. Tunisian big man Salah Mejri led all scorers with 17 points. Cheikh Kondé led Guinea with 9 points and 6 rebounds. Now, the Kigali Arena was also the venue for the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League in May. The Egyptian club Zamalek won the inaugural BAL trophy, and several Zamalek players have returned to Rwanda to play for the Egyptian national team. Taking a look at the AfroBasket schedule, after group play, there will be quarterfinal games on September 1st and September 2nd. The two semifinal games are on September 4th. And the 2021 AfroBasket Final will be played on Sunday, September 5th.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Here in Washington, President Biden has welcomed the Women's National Basketball Association champion Seattle Storm to the White House.
I'm honored to welcome to the White House the 2020 WNBA champions, the Seattle Storm. You're an inspiring team, and you represent a hell of a city, a great American city, and a groundbreaking league. The only all-female ownership group in pro sports. Lisa, Jenny, and Dawn, congratulations. Congratulations. I may need work after this. I'd be a good ball boy. Commissioner Kathy, it's great to have you here. Thank you for your leadership in the WNBA and now celebrating 25 years of excellence. And to the players, congratulations and thank you for being you. Thank you for believing in one another. You know, the Bidens are a sports family. We're one of, I have one of our granddaughters, Maisie, is a great athlete, loves to play basketball, but also is all first team All-State in two different sports. And is now at Penn playing soccer. I have a granddaughter, who's a hell of a ball player as well. I have a niece, my sister's daughter, who is first team All-American and All-Ivy in lacrosse. And I can go on and on. We all thought we were pretty good athletes, the men in our family. I wasn't a bad ball player, wasn't a bad football and baseball player, my brothers, but I got to admit, all the women are better than us.
President Biden saluting the female athletes in his family and also saluting the WNBA champion Seattle Storm at the White House. Two players on the Storm, Jewel Lloyd and Brianna Stewart, presented President Biden a Seattle jersey with the number 46 to recognize his status as the 46th president of the United States. And taking a quick look at the current WNBA standings, well, Seattle has a good shot at another trip to the White House next year. The Storm is tied for first place in the WNBA's West Division with 18 wins and 7 losses. The Seattle players and President Biden all wore face masks at the White House ceremony because of the coronavirus pandemic.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, Olympic bronze medalist Samuel Tachi of Ghana says he's planning to turn professional. Prince Nesta spoke with a few Ghanaians after Tachi captured the country's first Olympic medal in 29 years at the recent Tokyo Games.
Oh, we feel happy because it's almost 29 years that we've won medal. The only thing the government has to do is to resource the guys so that they can get more boxes. And had the equipment said, well, Ghana here, they are lacking so many things. The train, the gym, if you go there, the boxing gym, we don't have boxing gym here. So they have to do it more and get more trainers so that they will help the guys to improve. Every time they go, they bring more medals because they put Ghana on the map. Boxing is not easy. It's not an easy thing at all. So if that guy won it, because there are so many people, for Ghana to win that medal is a plus for us. It's not easy.
I want to say to someone, you shouldn't be complacent. You shouldn't say that you have won with this one, so you will relax. You should train more. You should train hard. Sky is the limit. The more you do, the more you get recognized. Mayweather and Cody, they started like this. You have to encourage yourself more, train well. And there are so many things, if you are as a boxer or as a trainer, me myself, I'm a trainer, so there are so many things you have to avoid. Womanizing and drinking alcohol and drugs. You remove that one every day, focus on training. The sky is the limit, you will be there.
We are happy. We are happy that you win. All the Ghanaians pray for win. But now you go and win the medal. So we are praying. So it should go high. It should make the training, high training. So all the Ghanaians, we Africa countries, we are praying for him to go high for us.
And so the win has made you happy. How do you think the country feels like? Did they feel disappointed maybe he didn't bring home a gold?
No. It's a game. Everybody have a talent. Plenty people go, then he go and win. So we are happy. We are happy for him that he bring that drums to Ghana. So he should try his best to the family to make happy, more happy. He should don't make a lazy. He should make that he don't follow the guests, or the this thing. That man, if he follow that thing there, he could fall down. So he should go high to leave there. That if you have one girl, that's all. Not this girl. He should try his best. We pray for him.
I felt great, I felt excited, and it tells you the kind of talents we have in the country. Should things go well going forward, the government has a lot to do. Especially the government should start seeing sports as jobs. They keep saying they are creating jobs, but they, for me, what I see is they are creating non-existent jobs or jobs that will not only exist after a certain shorter period. But should they be able to kind of like set and put things in place, just get to know that sports is also another job. For them to understand that, they'll be able to solve some of these issues, and then it's really going to help the youth, and we're going to create more jobs, and we'll be able to bring something back from the Olympics in the next 4 years.
How did the win, Samuel's win, make you feel?
Oh, we feel happy. We all feel happy. We think that God may raise him up, that he may want more. He shouldn't take this, that this, though he doesn't mind. He doesn't think that he has won, but he have to work hard to improve his marriage. He made the flag of Ghana since 29 years ago. Only someone has come back to do the same thing. So congratulations to him.
What do you think maybe the government should do so that next time they will be more competitive?
You see, sometimes financial problems, all the boxers and the footballers, they need some support. Without support, they can't do anything. And they need money to do something. They have to go to some place. The government has to work hard and put money on their accounts so that the footballers and the boxers, all the athletes, can do work for us. Give the money to do the work.
His performance actually is very, very good. Almost 29 years down the line. There's no achievement for this country. And the secondary, our leaders always put their eyes on football, but not those athletes. But see the performance and the win race the guy did for Ghanaian. So I'm proud of the guy.
You've been listening to some Ghanaian sports fans reacting to the Olympic bronze medal won by Samuel Tachi. And thanks to Prince Nesta for collecting that audio in the capital, Accra. And that wraps up the August 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.